We're full of science news this morning and health news. Australian researchers have completed a world-first clinical trial that promises to usher in the next era of stem cell treatments. The trial saw patients given modified human stem cells to help their bodies overcome complications from bone marrow transplants. This treatment could boost survival rates for people with leukemia, for instance, but it's the broader medical potential that has researchers really excited. Professor John Rasko is the head of the Department of Cell and Molecular Therapies at Royal Prince Alfred Hospital in Sydney and the lead investigator on this clinical trial. Professor John Rasko, welcome back to Breakfast.
Great to be back and breaking new ground, Fran.
Yeah, absolutely. The thing that makes this trial so significant, as I understand it, is that for the first time, you've safely injected patients with cells derived from something called iPS cells, induced pluripotent stem cells, in a full clinical trial. Can you explain what these iPS cells are and what's so special or significant about them, John?
Absolutely, Fran. So you and I have discussed these cells several times before on the show. iPS cells, or reprogrammed human stem cells, are artificial cells that can be pushed back up the tree of differentiation, if you will, into this embryonic-like state. So that enables the development of potentially an unlimited source of any human cell in the body. And those cells could then be used for regenerative medicine or therapeutic purposes. Essentially, it's an unlimited source of cells because they're capable of self-renewal, but also giving rise to any cell in the body. And the crucial thing is, unlike human embryonic stem cells, they lack the ethical baggage that some quarters in the community have highlighted.
Okay, so that's important. They're embryonic-like is the state you reprogram them to, but they are not embryonic stem cells, so they don't have all those ethical debates around them.
Exactly. Embryos are not used in their production. They can be derived from any cell in the human body and then forced back up this differentiation tree into this primitive embryonic-like state. So they can be derived from blood cells or skin cells or hair follicle cells, anything you like. And I've got to say, when I was a medical student a few decades ago, we were told that this would be impossible. And when I first heard about it about 15 years ago, I really was very skeptical about the potential of these cells because we use various genes to reprogram them, and some of those are cancer-related genes. And so I was skeptical because I thought these cells might be dangerous. There's been a lot of studies in between suggesting that they may not be, but we have to prove that in clinical trials, and today we're announcing the first.
Okay, so just to sort of try and drill into what's new about this, as you just referred to there, these iPS cells were first engineered back in 2006 by Japanese scientist Shinya Yamanaka, who won a Nobel Prize for that work in 2012. And it was this whole notion that doctors could take cells from someone's body and reprogram them to treat whatever disease they had. So how much progress has actually been made on that goal, on those goals, since 2006, John?
Well, it does seem like a long time, and these cells have made a major impact in, the first area, which is drug screening. So it's possible now to take a cell from a person, even with a rare genetic disease, for example, and reprogram them, those cells, so they become these embryonic-like cells, but then differentiate them. For example, if you have a person with a very rare genetic disease affecting the heart, you can create a person's own heart cells beating in a dish and screen tens or hundreds of thousands of drugs. And so the pharmaceutical industry have embraced this for potentially testing cancer drugs or testing drugs that might have a cardiac side effect. The whole concept of personalized medicine here in cancer and other genetic diseases has been a major breakthrough based on Shinya Yamanaka's Nobel Prize winning discovery. But the holy grail, Fran, is regenerative medicine. Mm-hmm. The idea that we overcome the concept of individual donors, if you receive a bone marrow transplant, you actually get cells from another person. But here we have the potential to grow cells in an unlimited amount and then give rise to any cell in the body. We overcome the manufacturing variability challenges, and as a potential unlimited supply of cells, we might actually then be able to provide organs or cells in a dish, which can then be expanded and given to anyone.
So would that mean, and I may have completely misunderstood you here, but does that mean by using these iPS cells that I think your trial's been used to help people who've received a bone marrow transplant, but in the future mm-hmm. you might not need to get the transplant. You might be able to create the bone marrow or the organ or whatever it is, which would and that would decrease the rejection issues that go with that currently.
Well, is that the Holy Grail? Well, the Holy Grail is to produce any organ in the body. And as you know, blood yes. is one of the organs.
So we wouldn't need transplants anymore.
Well, potentially we could take transplants from an off-the-shelf source. That's the idea here.
Okay. When your small trial, though, wasn't doing that, was it? It was a 15-patient trial. What was
that's
it
right.
doing?
So this specific trial is in the context of a serious complication of bone marrow transplantation. Just to remind you and the listeners, Fran, there's about 1.5 million bone marrow transplants completed over the last 60 years. Roughly half of them are related, half of them are unrelated, meaning a donor from a sibling or a matched unrelated donor. What we do when we do a transplant is we transplant in somebody's immune system, somebody else's immune system. And that can lead to an attack on the mm-hmm. recipient's cells, on their tissues. And this is called graft versus host disease. It can be a life-threatening attack on the lungs, on the gut, liver, skin, and so on. So in Australia, where we do about 2,000 transplants a year, about a third of recipients develop acute graft versus host disease. And so our study tested these stem cell-derived cells for safety and tolerability in the 15 patients with this complication of bone marrow transplantation. A bit complicated, but proving the principle that these cells can be safely used in human beings.
So in this trial, the patients didn't go on to develop graft versus host?
These patients had already got graft versus host disease, and the cells were used to treat this acute graft versus host disease. Yes.
So that was a small phase one trial. What happens next then to work out if this treatment is safe and effective?
Yes, so now that we've treated 15 patients in 7 centres in the UK and down under, we demonstrated safety and tolerability. There were no treatment-related serious adverse events or safety concerns, indicating that potentially some of the problems that beset other clinical trials, which caused them to be put on hold or abandoned, in particular in Japan, mm-hmm. now we've demonstrated that these cells can be safely used in the particular way that we did, and we got very, very good results. It's early days yet, but the overall response rate and the survival was well into the 80%. And the complete response rate was seen in about half of these patients. So it is early days and they are small numbers, but the crucial point here is that we've shown for the first time that these stem cell-derived cells can be used safely in humans.
And that's very exciting, and it sounds like it's going to have, flow-on effects which would make it safer for a lot more trials to be run. Are you planning on being involved in a larger trial now?
Absolutely. So the company that sponsored this study is actually a Melbourne company called Cynata. In various countries in the world, such cells like the ones we tested are being fast-tracked, even in diseases like COVID-19, but they're also used in inflammatory bowel disease. And another company in Australia called Mesoblast, that I know has been showcased on your show, is testing multiple donor-derived stem cells of a similar kind in COVID-19 and in graft versus host disease. So this is the here and now. These cells could well be approved in the coming months, or indeed in the next year or next few years. So there are real opportunities in this specific disease type. But again, going back to the ultimate potential and the reason why these cells received a Nobel Prize is that in the future, the cells may be used for the whole panoply of diseases affecting every different tissue in the body. We can have off-the-shelf cells that could be used to regenerate bone, skin, heart tissue, even brain tissue, for example. And that's the great excitement around these cells.
It's a whole new world, as I think you pointed out during your Boyer lectures. John, thank you very much for joining us, and congratulations to you and the team.
Always a pleasure, Fran. Thanks very much.
Professor John Rascoe, head of the Department of Cell and Molecular Therapies at Royal Prince Alfred Hospital, with this breakthrough. And if you haven't listened to John's Boyer lectures, they're available. Head to the ABC website and look for the John Rascoe Boyer lectures. Really, really interesting, looking at the future and some of the quandaries we need to deal with.